dancers, welcome back to Broche Banter. I'm your host, Julie Gill. In this season, we're talking about all the facets of ballet, how to work on them individually, and how to combine them into your personal ballet journey. And we are here today to talk about the facet of ballet turns, the pirouette. It appears effortless, the head spinning at a different rate than the body, the dancer turning like the ballerina in the music box. It's incredible. It looks like they're floating and they're weightless. It looks like there's completely no effort and it is very easeful, beautiful, graceful, magical, gravity-defying, the elusive pirouette. It appears effortless and it is actually somewhat effortless once you figure it out. But of course, the hard part of things is making the hard stuff look easy, and it's actually not easy. It's actually quite hard. We're going to break down turns today. We're going to talk about the mechanics of turns, the differences between learning turns as an adult versus kid, and all the things that you can consider and think about and plant seeds in your ballet training as you work towards your pirouettes. Whether you're new to ballet and you're working towards your first single pirouette, whether you've been working on your singles forever and you just can't seem to land them, or whether you've got your singles and you're looking towards your multiples, we're going to break it all down today. I want to start off with a story about somebody very close to me who does not know how to swim. In their mid-30s, they don't know how to swim. Now, if you don't know how to swim and you get into a pool of water, it is literally life-threatening. Like, you will die in that pool of water if you don't know how to swim, or you don't know how to float, or you don't have a flotation device. Watching this person get into the pool is like watching, I mean, you can see the fear. The body tenses, the shoulders go up, the muscles tense, even in shallow water, because it's literally a dangerous activity. When you are an adult who doesn't know how to swim and you're fully aware of the dangers of water, being in water feels extremely dangerous and your body reacts very strongly to this feeling of danger. When you learn as a kid, you've got people holding you up. You don't even quite know that water is dangerous yet, right? You don't have this feeling of danger already drilled into you about the water. And especially if you're in an environment where your family and friends and everything is making the water feel fun and exciting and playful, then you don't grow up with the dangers of water. I mean, you are taught to respect water at some point, but right, kids can just hop into pools not knowing it's dangerous because it's not inherently known to be dangerous. If you don't know what it is. So when you're learning to swim as a child, you're a little more trusting of the water. You don't have necessarily that fear response right away in the same way as if you are fully coherent, cognizant adult who knows how dangerous it is to be inside the water. So the process of learning how to swim as a child is very different than the process of learning how to swim as an adult. As an adult, so much of learning how to swim is going to be comfort and confidence in the water and sort of retraining the fear response, because when you are really afraid of the water and your body tenses up, you're going to sink immediately. A big part of floating is to be able to relax and release and give your body to the water. But if you don't think the water is going to hold you up, you're not going to give your body to the water. You're going to be so tense. You're going to be tense and you're going to sink to the bottom of that water like a rock because your body is in a state of panic and tension and the water needs you to float. In order to float, you need to puff your chest, you need to lay on your back, you need to let your ears go into the water, you need to relax and release into the water. Okay, I promise I'm getting to the turns. Although, if you've been turning for a little while, maybe you can already see the parallels. This is the same with learning how to ride a bike. When you're a kid, it is a little scary as you're learning how to ride a bike, yes, but when you are learning from that young age, it's very different than when you're teaching adults how to ride a bike. There was a coworker I had when I worked at a tech company in New York City who didn't know how to ride a bike in their 40s. And they went to take bike riding lessons in Central Park. And the whole process of learning how to ride a bike as an adult is very different than when you're a light young child and your parent is pushing you down the street and let's go. And, you know, you ride the bike for a little bit and then you fall into the bushes and you cry and you scrape your knee, but you get up again tomorrow and you ride the bike again and you keep going. It's very different as an adult. You have to work on the fear response of being out of control on the bike. You have to work on the feeling of getting the balance and getting the mechanism right, because you have to push one pedal and then the other without throwing yourself off of balance. It's actually quite a complex movement to learn how to ride a bike. Same thing with floating. It's actually quite a complex movement to do these different things. And if you're afraid and you're tensing up your body in different ways, then the balance state is going to be very thrown off. So as an adult, if you're learning how to ride a bike, if you're learning how to swim, that state of fear that you're going to be in, that state of reaction to the dangers that you're feeling and sensing is going to change your body's movements and mechanics. It's going to move your center of gravity. It's going to cause your limbs not to move very independently from each other. It's going to mess with your coordination. Okay, all that being said, turning as an adult is very similar to learning to swim or learning to ride a bike. As you get older, falling is dangerous, right? Like falling is really dangerous as you get older. I mean, you know, obviously we want to be very strong and have dense bones and all of this, but like the older you get, the more dangerous it is to fall and the more scared we are of falling. Not only is the floor farther away, but we're more fearful of falling as an adult as we are as kids. Like I remember when I was young in summertime, just bored out of my mind, with nothing else to do. I didn't have a TV growing up, so we just had to figure out ways to mess around and entertain ourselves. I remember I would just spin in circles in the living room and then fall on the floor and watch the ceiling spin. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever. But now, oh my God, I mean, I would barf. There's no way that would be how I would entertain myself. I would choose hundreds of other ways to entertain myself before spinning around in circles until I got so dizzy I had to fall on the floor. But that was fun as a kid. That wasn't dangerous. Now that's going to feel very dangerous. I feel very out of control of my body. I feel when I'm spinning that I might fall over, that falling would be very dangerous. It's very scary to fall as an adult. Even pirouettes, I've fallen out of pirouettes onto the floor. I've fallen and it's very scary. But if you watch a kid learning to turn, even not in a ballet context, but just spinning for fun, they spin and they're laughing and they fall on the ground and they get up and they're still laughing. But for me, it's very different when I'm turning and I fall. It's kind of embarrassing and it's kind of painful and I don't want to turn again. I'll, you know, cut the practice session short after that. So all this being said, I want to first just say that learning to turn as an adult, one of the biggest things we're dealing with, if you have no childhood training, one of the biggest things we're dealing with is that fear response. One of the biggest things we're dealing with is how your body reacts to the out of control sensation of spinning and being off balance. Generally for us, and there's obviously exceptions to everything everywhere, but generally for us, people who learn ballet as adults for the first time are very afraid of turning. We're very afraid of falling. We don't like the sensation of being dizzy. It feels weightless. It feels kind of scary. And our body will tense up. As we know with swimming, as we know with riding a bike, maybe you don't know how to do both, but maybe you know how to do one of them. If you're very tense, the process doesn't work very well. You need to be relaxed. I mean, that's not to say that you're not engaging your muscles. You are, there's a technique to it, right? But you can't have your shoulders up in your ears and be afraid and fearful. The process is just not going to work. And turns is very similar to that. It's a technical move, not a power move. I talked about this on an earlier episode. Technique is different than power, right? Power is like, how high in the air can you jump, right? Technique is like, how precise can you make your movement? How controlled and with perfect timing and precision can you make your movement? So a pirouette is a technical move, not a power move. The stronger you are, yes, it does get easier to control your body, but if you're very strong and you're not precise, you will not have better pirouettes. Strength alone does not improve your pirouettes. You need precision and technique and to understand the mechanic of the movement, not just sheer raw strength. So as a technical move, as an adult, the fear pattern and the fear response really interrupts that pattern of movement and makes it very difficult for us to learn the technique. So that is our biggest difference between learning to turn as an adult versus as a kid, is understanding that fear response, understanding how to intercept it, and understanding how to build confidence with the feeling of turning, understanding how to build a relationship with your body so that, as I said with swimming, you can give your body to the turn and you're not fighting the turn, you're not fighting for control, you're giving your body to the turn, that you can understand the feeling of being dizzy and weightless that you get when you're turning. Also to understand that our balance does change as we age. Maybe we get more vertigo. Maybe we have more difficult proprioception, which is your ability to know where your body is in space internally without your eyes. We tend to lose our balance as we age if we're not actively working on it, which of course ballet is so great for improving your balance as you continue aging. But turning is kind of the epitome of balancing. So we often need to start with just getting our balance. Like, can you stand on one leg with your eyes closed? If not, it's going to be really hard to turn because when you're turning, you can't see really. So it's kind of like standing on one leg with your eyes closed. So if you can't stand on one leg with your eyes closed, then turning is probably going to be a little bit scary and feel off balance because it kind of is. So for us as adults, it's not usually in the beginning as playful as it is for kids when they're learning to turn, where it's like, wee, this is fun. Like, I'm enjoying this. Where young children, you know, the ages 6, 7, they're playing and turning at the same time in their pre-ballet classes. Us as adults, we're like immediately kind of afraid of our turns. So a lot of when I teach beginning turn classes, the way I teach turns to beginners is getting comfortable with the feeling and the idea that your body can turn and that it is safe and that it is fun. And that means that you might have to start with quarter turns, or you might have to just start with looking over your shoulder to see how you turn from one side to the other. Or maybe you start with en dedans pirouettes that don't feel as scary as en dehors. But you have to start with building the comfort with the idea of turning. Because if you start trying to learn the mechanics while you're still afraid, you're not going to be able to focus and you're not going to be able to actually make any change, because all you're doing is just panicking and just completely tensing up and almost like blanking out or blacking out because of the pirouette panic. The actual technique of learning to turn, let's talk a little bit about what this is. Now, it's a very interesting dichotomy of both creating force and generating stillness simultaneously. You need to give yourself momentum, you need torque, you need power, you need to push yourself around, and you need to create stillness in your spine, in your hips, in your releve, in your arms. If you can't create stillness in your body, then your momentum will be wasted. Your momentum will just go to sort of pushing you off balance or to making your spine wiggle. Your momentum will be lost in this system to moving other body parts. You need to create almost, it's not rigidity, because it's not rigidity in the sense of I want your shoulders tense to your ears, but your body needs to be very firm and unmoving in the face of momentum and torque. So you need to push yourself in a circle and hold still the second you take off. So it's like the preparation is where you're generating all the momentum. You're winding up your standing leg. So if you're going to turn right, your left knee is pulling back to the left to generate momentum. Then you give yourself a big push. You take your left shoulder and you chase your right knee around. But the second you give yourself that push, this is where the timing and the precision comes into play. The second you give yourself that push, you need to arrive in the position and hold still. You don't want to arrive in the position and keep wobbling. You don't want to arrive in the position and then lean back. You don't want to arrive in the position and then drop your passe leg. You want to arrive and then hold. Now that's very difficult to go from a push to a stillness. This is what we work on with frappe, right? Going from a fast move to a hard stop. This is very difficult to go from a very big explosive push to a dead stop. Right? You've got PKs that we work on at the bar where you're going down and up and you're going from very fast to change direction very quickly. To train your muscles to go from a huge, powerful movement of giving yourself momentum and torque and pushing to holding your body completely still, that's where the technique comes in. That's the technical aspect of it, that you can push yourself and then hold on to that momentum and let it push you around. If you imagine spinning a top on a table, you give that top a big spin, and where is the technique? The technique is to get it to land on its axis and hold still. Not to push harder. It doesn't matter how hard you push or how much you fling the top. If you don't have that je ne sais quoi finesse to get it to stay upright and hold still, it's going to spin out of control. So you need to, like a top, you need to give yourself a big flick and then land on your axis and hold still and spin around it. That is the technique what I'm talking about. Not muscling it out, but holding it, giving yourself a push, and then being able to hold that position while that momentum pushes you around. When you do actually get the hang of pirouettes, honestly, it feels like waiting. Honestly, it feels like you're just waiting for your momentum to end so that you will land. That's what it really feels like when you get multiple pirouettes, when you start getting up to 3 and 4 pirouettes. It feels like you just, yeah, it just feels like you're waiting it out. You're riding a wave and you're waiting for it to end. You don't really feel this as much with singles. When you get to doubles, you start to feel this a little bit, but definitely when you get to 3 and 4 turns, you just feel like you're waiting. You're holding still and you're waiting. Now, this is where we have a lot of the mental challenges of it learning as an adult. So what happens a lot of times is we give ourselves that big push. And if we don't know how to control our body when we get to that position, if we don't know how to go push and then stop, not, I don't mean stop your turn, but I mean stop your movement so that you'll spin in one place and you'll spin around one very still and stiff axis. If you don't know how to do that, it, like I said, with the top analogy, if you give yourself a big push, but you're not on your axis, it's going to be so out of control. And like I said, if you're already feeling like turning is very dangerous and feels very scary, then that feeling of out of control will continue to solidify the idea that turning is dangerous for you. And then you'll continue to blank out. You'll continue to get lost. You'll continue to panic in your pirouette preparation where you're going to be just knowing that the turn is coming, afraid of what's going to happen, feeling dangerous, like, you know, this feeling in the preparation of panic. And then within that panic, that's when we're like, which leg way, left or right? And then you don't know which leg to pick up and you end up picking up the wrong leg and going the wrong direction just because, like, you're not even present for that moment. You're just lost in fear. You're just like lost in space because you're so, your body's sort of self-preservation mechanisms are kicking in so much, making you so excited about the pirouette, not necessarily excited as in happy about it, but like in a high state of alertness. When we're coming to the way of learning turns as an adult, my biggest suggestion and way that I teach it is to teach the push and hold. So this is, for example, push up to a quarter turn and hold still on releve, lower down on flat. This is to teach you to give yourself a small amount of turning momentum and then hold the position. Because that, the first quarter turn, the launch, the takeoff, that's the moment when things work or they don't work. That moment, the minute you leave the ground with your standing heel from plie to releve, that's the minute that it's going to work or it's not going to work. Imagine a top that you throw on the table. Like I said, it's a great analogy because we've all played with tops before, or a coin or whatever you're spinning on the table. The second that thing hits the table, maybe it has a second where it wobbles and it finds its axis. But for the most part, the moment it hits the table, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is going to work or it's not going to work. It's that first second, the takeoff, where everything needs to line up. You need to grab onto your axis. You need to hit the position and hold still. So when you're learning to turn as an adult, especially if you have pirouette panic, if you blank out, if you have the fear response, if you're afraid of getting dizzy, if you get lost in the room, then from a plie, quarter turn, hold the position and work on that until you can go from push to stop. And that feeling of push to stop, then you can start applying more force little by little and it will feel more safe and in control to you as you start learning. Because you don't, once you start feeling out of control with it, that's when you get the experience where you're like, I can get one turn, but then I can't get them for a while, or one was a fluke. It's like your body gets that feeling and it feels kind of crazy. And then your body almost fears getting it again, right? And sort of has that panic response in the moment and tenses up unnecessarily or sabotages your coordination. So you want to be able to push and stop. That is going to be basically simulating the turn and axis creation, right? The momentum into the axis, and then you hold it and you create that stillness, right? That's the key technique, is giving yourself a push and then holding on to your position while that momentum will propel you around the circle. If you can master that and you give yourself more and more force, you learn to be able to hold on to more force. Because in the beginning, this is very challenging to be able to hold on to more force, right? You need to gradually build up your ability to give yourself a bigger push and hold on to it. Bigger push, hold on to it. Bigger push, hold on to it. This is kind of the technique of the turning. Of course, holding on to the position, if you don't have your retiree balance at the bar, if you don't have your turnout in control, if you don't know how to feel your hips pulling together in the back, if you don't know how to feel your standing heel pulling up to your calf, if you don't know how to feel your shoulder blades pulling down to your back pockets, if you don't know how to feel your ears, the back of your throat lifting up into space to lift you and pull you up, if you don't know how to feel your pelvic floor pulling up into your rib cage, that's where we keep working on that at the bar. That's where our technique and our muscle activation patterns are developed. We don't develop muscle activation patterns like that I just described while you're working on your pirouettes. While you're working on your pirouettes is your place to work on that particular transition from pushing to stopping, from momentum to axis. Your axis needs to be developed at the bar with your technique, maybe some balancing drills in the center. Your axis development, just a static axis, you need to have that position very familiar with your body so it just feels like you're going back to home base to turn. You want that passe, that retiré, whatever position you're turning in, maybe it's an attitude turn, you want that feeling to be very familiar so that you're just going back home and you're going to wait it out at home while your momentum is pushing you around. That's the sensation that you want to feel. So in parallel with working on your turns, you're continuing to make your axis stronger. Your pose, your position that you're holding and waiting in while you turn, you're continuing to make that more and more reliable, more and more natural, more and more unconscious, more and more familiar, so that when you do push yourself in the turn, you've got somewhere that you can go reliably every single time. One note about the interesting thing about the axis there is that when we are turning, there is a fair amount of centrifugal force, and that does pull us backwards. So your balance will feel different in turns. Generally speaking, you have to feel more forward while you're turning than while you're standing still, because if you feel the same, you're probably falling back because of the centrifugal force, which pulls everything back. Like if you've ever used a salad spinner, that's how you get the water out of the lettuce, because centrifugal force pushes everything back and away from the center of the axis, right? So you have to really work very hard in your turn to hold yourself forward with your upper body over your legs. Of course, if you've got a different size torso, different size legs, different length arms, this feels different for every single one of us because we all have very unique bodies. But generally speaking, the centrifugal force is going to knock you backwards, and you're going to have to, if you feel the same while you're balancing as when you're in your turns, you're probably falling back while you're turning because of that natural force. So let's talk about consistency. Once you've started feeling the taste of turns, you've landed some, you've got some floaty ones, maybe your dreams at night, you're starting to dream of turns because they're close, you can feel it, you've spun a little bit, you know, you start to get that feeling in your body is starting to kind of crave that sense of turning, and you can feel it, you can taste it, you want that pirouette, you want that single. Well, the next thing that we start to work on is consistency. Every single technical sport has to deal with consistency within technique. You can't just shoot a free throw one day and then not shoot a free throw the next day. If you're a pro basketball player, right? They're working on consistency of the technique. Gymnasts, they're working on consistency of getting their movements and their motions. If you're playing baseball, you're working on consistency of the movement. So yes, sometimes you get one pirouette and then you can't get one for a while. That is part of the technical journey. Because again, technique requires that interesting balance between thinking and overthinking. Technique requires that interesting balance between thinking enough about your technique that you are doing the step-by-step procedure that you need to be successful, and overthinking, which is where you're panicking and not trusting your body and doubting your turn, and your body feels different that day, so you're uncertain about it. There's that difference between thinking that's actually helping your body and overthinking, which is sabotaging your body. So when you are dealing with consistency, you're always working on that push and pull between managing and micromanaging your body. And that consistency is something that we all have to work on and work towards, that you can understand the different feelings in your body. You can see what to do when you're off your leg. You can make the changes in your body and have a good sense of what's going on to help you get that turn. So it's like, oh, I can't feel my glute the same today. Then you have an idea of, okay, well, maybe I go back to my quarter turn, hold still motion. Maybe I go back to some glute bridges on the floor for a couple minutes before I get back up and practice. It's about really understanding and deepening your relationship with your body to see that every day you do have a little different body. You sat a different amount yesterday. You had a different amount of stress level at work yesterday. You drank different water. You have a different body every day. So how can you get your different body every day to continue being consistent? That is the challenge of technique, is that even though you have a different feeling and sense every day, that you can get consistency out of it. That's that very interesting relationship, that deep relationship and the deep knowing with your body as you develop that consistency. Like, God, today I just keep falling left, but yesterday I wasn't falling left. That's totally normal. That's part of the process. And that is part of what every athlete and dancer has to work on to build their own personal consistency. So like, when I'm falling left, what do I do about that? How do I get my leg back? How do I get my axis back? I go back to the bar. I get back in my retire. I stretch my hip flexor a little more because they're feeling tight today, or I didn't drink enough water yesterday, so I'm feeling extra dizzy today, or whatever's going on. You really get to know yourself and be able to develop that consistency. Because when you are, every person has a different feeling in their body every day, but you still want to be able to show up and consistently get your turns to work. I'm not saying this is an overnight thing, but it's a continual development, and it's a very normal part of the process. So I see a lot of dancers get really frustrated that, and maybe you can relate to this too, dancers will say to me like, oh, I got one and I just can't get them for a while. Or like, it was a fluke, or I can only get it when my teacher's not watching, or I can only get it when I'm not thinking. And therefore they'll, you know, demonize thinking, or they'll say like, I just need to black out and do it. But that's not exactly the situation. The situation is you need to understand yourself and your body so much that you can be surgical about your movements and about your preparation and about troubleshooting your turns so that you can be consistent. It doesn't mean you have to just rely on luck. It means that you need to navigate your body, navigate the problems you're facing, and figure out how to move ahead into your turns. Some days you're going to have off days. I mean, it happens. Some days you can't get back on that. Some days you can't figure it out. But then you reflect on it, and next time you know more about your body, and you get more and more information for how to continue making yourself more and more consistent with your turns. I want to talk briefly about the interesting thing about the directions that we turn in ballet before we get on to our last topic of multiple turns. So an interesting thing about ballet directions of how we turn is we have, let's say we're standing on our left leg. We can go in two directions. We can turn towards our left leg to the left, or we can turn away from the left leg to the right. If you're turning towards your left leg to the left, this is a forward direction. If you're looking forward and you turn left, you're going the direction that you're facing. If you're standing on your left leg and you turn to the right, you're turning backwards. You're turning towards your back, away from the leg you're standing on. A lot of sports, we've got gymnastics, ice skating, a lot of them, their default is turning inwards, towards the standing leg, forwards direction. But in ballet, our default is turning away from the leg, backwards. I mean, we have, of course, pique turns and other things that go inward, ante dan pirouettes. I'm not saying that's not a thing, but our basic, quote unquote, basic pirouette, unlabeled anything else pirouette, is backwards. You combine that with spotting, where we don't look where we're going at first. When you're spotting and you're turning outward, en dehors, away from the leg. So let's use the example of the left leg again. If I'm standing on my left leg and I'm turning to my back, my body, especially as we've talked about, as an adult who doesn't want to fall on the floor, I want to look where I'm going. I want to turn and look right if I'm turning right. Yeah. I mean, if I'm driving a car and I'm going to back up to the right, before we had these backup cameras, you turn and look over your right shoulder so you know you can go that way, right? If you are walking a direction, you look the way you're going. But spotting, one of the reasons why spotting is so difficult is because, especially when you're turning en dehors, away from your leg, backwards, you need to turn without looking where you're going. You need to keep your head looking forward, and you need to turn backwards. So it's like you don't get to look where you're going, which adds to the feeling of the anxious feeling that can come with turns, because we have to go where we're not looking. That's so unnatural. If you try to, you know, get a dog to walk backwards, it's almost impossible. It's really hard for them, right? It's like a whole trick to get them to walk backwards. It's actually impressive if you can get them to walk backwards by themselves. It's very unnatural to walk where you're not looking. And spotting asks us to do exactly that. Spotting asks us to turn to the right and look to the left, right? We have to keep our head over our left shoulder while we turn to the right. So a lot of times when we're thinking about learning spotting, yes, with spotting, there's of course balancing challenges. You know, you can drill with on releve, looking left and right to practice the head flip. But a lot of times why spotting is so challenging when we're learning is because of this fact that ballet dancers are often turning backwards, and turning backwards while spotting means you have to turn without looking where you're going. So you have to feel. You have to feel when you're actually working on spotting, and this is especially when you get to multiple pirouettes, which we'll talk in a sec, you really have to feel that you have turned without looking. You have to feel that you're turning blind. If you can see where you're going, then you're not spotting. It really feels like you're turning blind when you get it. The actual experience of turning backwards en dehors while spotting feels like turning blind. And that's how you know you're spotting. You leave your head, right? It sounds so easy and cute when people say, leave your head. But that's really strange. Imagine you're looking one direction and you're walking another. You're probably going to bump into something. We learn pretty at a young age, stop doing that, right? Your parents are like, watch where you're going, watch where you're going, right? We receive that feedback as children wandering and bumping around the world. So you learn, you get drilled into, you look where you're going. And then you go to get a pirouette and you turn backwards. And then we say, don't look where you're going, leave your head forward and go backwards. So that is very challenging in and of itself. And when you're working on spotting, I would recommend keeping that in mind as much as you can. Work on the balancing drills and the mechanics of actually moving your head on its axis. Don't discount the actual challenge of turning where you're not looking. So on to multiple pirouettes. I often tell people that you're going to get a 1.5 turn or even a double pirouette before you are, or around the same time as you're consistently landing your singles. Because the same skill that it takes to land a single turn is the same skill it takes to go around another time, which is to finish your turn up on demi-point to be able to come down controlled onto your landing. If you're doing a turn and you come falling down into your landing, if you're doing a single turn and you fall into your landing, not only are you not landing that turn, but you're not ready to go around a second time. If you finish your first turn and you're still on your axis that we've been talking about, if you can do a single pirouette and lower down on flat holding your position, then you can both land a single pirouette and most likely do a double pirouette if you can get used to the sensation of waiting and holding still while you continue turning. This feeling of being able to finish your turn on balance is when you're going to, when you can create that, that's when you get your multiples, that's when you land your single turns, that's when you really start to understand the technical aspect, that marriage of the push and the stillness together in one. That's when you're going to get the multiples and be able to give yourself more force in the preparation and be able to handle it. And by handle, I mean hold still for a while and feel weightless and wait for the turn to finish, basically. Wait up there for your momentum to finish. This is tough because in the feeling, when you're waiting, you want to put your foot down. It feels kind of weightless. It feels a little bit weird while you're going up there and you're holding still. And like I said, with the spotting, you're turning without looking where you're going. You know, you're not looking into the turn. You're looking forward for as much of it as possible. You just have to stay there and you have to wait for it and you have to hold your position still while you're continuing to turn. And so that feeling and that sensation of the multiple pirouettes is going to be when you get used to that, when you start to feel and understand that, that's going to be when your body will agree to give you more force in the preparation and be able to handle it. Be able to handle it without flying across the room, without feeling out of control. I mean, of course, that's all still going to happen in your process of getting up to multiples. You're definitely going to give yourself too much push and not hold on to it, and it'll get a little wild, but that's the process that's going to help you get to the multiple pirouettes. When you get here, it's likely that you're going to get to this part, this place of multiple pirouettes. It's likely when you get there, you will have had to integrate some additional conditioning into your ballet routine, as we talked about in the cross training episode, for your body to generate stillness. Oftentimes you have to either add weights or change your relationship to gravity by doing core work either on your back, on your side, or planking on your arms. So it's likely you will have had to add either weights or a different relationship with gravity for your core to understand how to generate stillness in your body. It's possible if you're going for three or four, it's possible you've added in some additional work in your strengthening routine, that you've added in some glute work, that you've added in some work for the strength in your legs, that you've added in more releves into your training, that you are consistently conditioning your body. It's likely that when you get to multiple pirouettes that you will have had to do that for a bit of time in order to have the force, the torque, the turnout, and the for the momentum and the core and control for the stillness. It's likely that you will have had to work on that for a little while you are working towards your multiple pirouettes. The stronger your core is, the more stillness you're able to generate while your legs are moving around, the easier it's going to be to hold that axis throughout time. It doesn't change the mental game. The mental game is one that you have to continue getting more and more used to, but the more control you have over your body, the more technique you have at the bar, the more control you have over your turnout, the stronger your releve is, the easier it's going to be and the less out of control you're going to feel, especially as you continue developing that relationship with your body. I want to talk just last thing briefly as we talk about this multiple pirouettes. The interesting thing about, especially if you're just only taking open ballet classes in your local studio or, you know, just kind of taking ballet in that way, the funny thing is oftentimes a pirouette exercise or a pirouette combination is like a waltz combination with one pirouette at the end. So it'll be like 16 counts, waltzing, 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 turning, pique arabesque, blah, 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 various other things, and like one pirouette at the end. If you are in a class like that and you're wondering when you're going to get your pirouettes, probably if that's all you're working on for your pirouettes, probably that single turn isn't going to come until you integrate some of the things that I talked about here, until you integrate some really focused, individual, slow practice on what the preparation should feel like, where your axis is, how to find your balance, getting to know your body a little bit, because a pirouette, to get a pirouette, while especially if you're in an open class environment where maybe some people did train as kids and they already have pirouettes in your body, like I haven't ridden a bike in some years, but I'm sure if I picked up a bike, I'd be able to, you know, ride it, you know, maybe not at my full power or strength, but I'd certainly be able to ride it. It's the same with pirouettes. People who come back, I've seen people come back with decades of no ballet and they can still do a pirouette because it's in their body. So if you're in an open class environment and other people are just getting their pirouettes naturally, it's probably not natural. It's probably chained trained into their body in some athletic endeavor that they're able to create this movement in your body. So you'll have to do some of this training yourself, whether it's, you know, something like turning drills, classes for just turning drills, like what I teach, or work on your own at home on the balance, renting some studio space or time to practice and work on your turns. If you really are serious about landing your single turns consistently and working up to multiple turns, it's definitely going to take additional focused practice, not just a pirouette at the end of a combination in class. And you want to work on getting to know your own body and your own momentum and what it feels like to create that pirouette for you. I think for me, if I think back on the timeline of how long it took me to learn turns, I started with very little athletic background, very clumsy, couldn't run the mile when I was a kid, couldn't touch my toes in the sit and reach test. I started with very little coordination. Let's say I still am quite clumsy in my life. So I started with very little coordination and very little tolerance for being dizzy and turning and all of that. And I think it took me about maybe 4 or 5 years of work, of practice before I could land my single pirouettes consistently. And then I think it took me another 2 or so years after that before I could actually do reliable doubles. And then some more years after that before I was doing 3 and 4 pirouettes. Right now I haven't been working on 3 and 4 pirouettes. So the timeline of your pirouettes is different for everybody, but definitely takes the focus and the practice on them, the targeted practice and focus. If you have not done a pirouette before, if you're working on your very first pirouette, don't be intimidated by the people who already have pirouettes from another time in their life or who have already put in that individual focus practice. Everybody does have to put it in somewhere, sometime. That is something that is necessary for getting those turns. Now, I will add the very last thing here is if you don't like to turn, if you have actual vertigo, if you get very dizzy and it throws off the rest of your day, I've met people where even a soutenu made them so dizzy that they were just highly uncomfortable for the rest of the day. If you have some issues like that where you're working through it, maybe you're getting treatment for it, or you just have that, you have this where turning is extremely uncomfortable for you, then I would say don't be tempted to quit ballet just because of that. You can enjoy 99% of ballet without the turn. Like I said, a turning combo is like 99% waltzing and a couple of turns tossed in there. And most classes, most open classes that you go to, most ballet classes that you go to, if you speak with a teacher and you say, hey, I don't like to turn, I'm not going to turn, and you do a passe and you just hold the position and you look at the axis that the teacher creates in the pirouette and you just hold it there and you keep going through. Though for the most part, if they are, you know, a teacher who actually focuses on teaching adults or enjoys teaching adults, they will be so happy to have you in class and be so happy to have you there, even if you are either still working on your pirouettes or you don't have a desire to work on pirouettes. That's one of the big reasons why throughout this season of the podcast, I've been talking about the facets of ballet. They are all individual. They all do, of course, they're intertwined, they're connected with each other. But if you don't like to turn, you don't have to do the rest of ballet. They are all individual. And if you don't like to turn, you can still do the rest of ballet. I've also met people who only had a dream of pirouettes and they didn't really care for the rest of it, but they just had this dream of being able to do a pirouette. Yeah, you can just learn a pirouette. You can learn relevé, you can learn passé, you can learn fourth, you can learn first position, you can learn how to push yourself around. You can literally learn only a pirouette out of ballet. It is obviously going to take other aspects of ballet to be able to hold your turnout and to be able to find relevé, but if you only wanted to work on a pirouette, all you would learn was fourth or fifth, depending on where you wanted to go from. You would work on holding your turnout in those very specific positions. You would work on how to push yourself into the passé and hold it. You would get that beautiful foot shape. You would get that beautiful knee shape. You would work on your spine. You would work on the port-a-bras for that. You would work on spotting and you would execute a pirouette. It's its own specific thing that can and should be worked on in isolation and then integrated and sprinkled into the rest of your ballet as much or as little as you want of it. The turns are a really magical and fun thing to work on. So I do, if you have a dream of it, I recommend putting in the work and trying for the period of time to actually work on getting those pirouettes, to get your singles, to experience doubles, to push even more, because they are, if you have the dream for it, they are very fun. They're very fun. They feel very free. They feel very weightless. And they are really a feeling that you don't get in many other places of life as an adult. They're a really unique feeling. And if you want to chase it, I definitely recommend that you chase it, that you work on the technique, that you work on the strength, that you work on the coordination and the timing and the precision, because They're super fun, and even as someone who started very cautious about turns, I can tell you that they're super fun and very worth the work that it takes to get them, because you can just feel like you're flying and floating and just in a different world for a second in time. It's a very cool feeling to have that trust with your body, to have that knowledge and feeling of your body spinning around in space. It's super cool and very, very fun. So if you want it, I recommend working on it. I hope you take this episode as inspiration that you can work on it, that even though it's a different process as an adult, it's very achievable, and that it is worth getting to work on the process of turning like a top. All right, dancers, until next time, I'm Julie Gill, and this has been Broche Banter.